Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 163 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Birchall.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
We'd like to remind you it's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts and what we discuss on the podcast are our own personal views, although we do look into some of the items that you do ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford it, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew. And I want to say a message there from Natey as well, thanking for his donation. He said, thanks for the chair chat last podcast. I'll be getting the camper back in October, so we'll be a winter camper. So very interested in hearing about all year round sites. I'm sure we'll do something on that coming up in the next couple of weeks, definitely. Anyway, he says, enjoy your shindig at the weekend.
Yes. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. I'm actually going to be doing possibly 4 winter videos of campsites that are open all year in Ireland. So they should be coming up in the next couple of weeks. So that will be, we'll let you know on the podcast. The shindig last weekend.
Yeah, we'll move to the news section. And the first item we have is the a big thank you to everyone that came along to the meetup in Banno Bay Seaside Farm. It was just great crack.
It was fantastic. Look, the weather wasn't too bad. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. No. But from Friday evening, people started. Cliff from Northern Ireland was the first one there. He was the first one in Kilkenny as well. Yeah. And then people, what I liked about it, Chris, is that with the exception of Cliff, everybody that was there has never been to a Charlie and me meetup. Yeah, so they were all new.
A new batch, yeah, absolutely. I don't know whether we did something wrong at the last one that nobody bothered to come again. We might have scared them off, or it's obviously good with the
lot. Oh, I never thought of that.
I'm going to take the positives from it that they were all at Electric Picnic and couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And that's why we had no return visitors.
Yeah. No, it must have been good because Cliff made it all the way from Northern Ireland. But it was fantastic. And I say a big thank you to Aidan Mack of AMD and Events. He supplied the disco free of charge. I'm still getting emails looking for his money, but he supplied the disco free of charge. Myself and Mack used to work together on a radio station, 12 years ago now. And it was great. We just fell into the swing of things. And thank you to everybody that we took the mickey out of, because we did take the mickey.
Yeah, I believe there's a few dancing videos. I might be in the background on a couple of those now. But
look, you might be in the forefront of a couple of them as well. They just haven't been released yet. Yeah, we put the video up last Friday. If you want to check out youtube.com/ Charlie and Mia camping vlog, the video from Banno Bay. But thank you again, as we said, to everybody. And watch this space.
I don't know if I'm too happy about the bloopers at the end, Aaron. It definitely puts me in a bad light. You know what I mean?
It puts you in your natural light,
podcasts and not YouTube videos, like.
Yeah, it puts you in your natural light. There was no editing. It's you as you are, and indeed me as I am. But I do like doing the bloopers. And you know what I'm finding lately? Even with the two of us on camera, we don't make as many bloopers as we used to. I even find now on the podcasts, I don't have to edit you as much as I used to.
Oh, thanks, Aaron.
But Christmas. Right. Anyway. So
just one thing, Aaron. Before we move on, I just want to say a big, big thank you to Bernie and the family for hosting us. You know what I mean? They really went above and beyond to make the weekend go really well. And the calf shed facility that they have there was
brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. And the best of luck to her. She's open all season, by the way, so we might even do a trip down there for a winter video. But thanks to Bernie and the family. And again, thanks to Mac. But most of all, thank you to each and every one of you that made it. And if you didn't make it, yes, we will do it at some stage again next year. And we'll give you details in the new year. Right. Speaking of news, you've got something from the Westmeath Independent.
Yes, I saw an article actually came up today in my searches there. The title is Farrell Seeks Motorhome Facilities in Athlone and Moat. And this came from the Westmeath Independent. And that's actually, from Monday the 12th. This came out of September. They say that while the provision of parking motorhomes on fully serviced sites is very popular across Europe, Westmeath County Council is hoping that the private sector might get involved in providing these services locally. This was the news imparted to members of the September meeting of the Athlone Moat Municipal District when the issue was raised in a motion submitted by Fine Gael Councillor Tom Farrell. So there's a bit of a conversation there about how that went. You can check that out on westmeadindependent.ie, and the title then of that article is Farrell Seeks Motorhome Facilities in Athlone and Moat.
But there you go again. It's the county council looking for private individuals. When if the council just look at Cove and other places like that, there's a potential for them to get coffers in. And gosh knows they're always screaming, looking for more money.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think we've spoken about this continuously now, Aaron, over the weeks. I suppose now the councils should and kind of step up. And if the private people aren't getting involved, well then maybe they should step in, as you said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll watch this space and we will keep you updated if we get any more on it. Online chatter. We've seen reports of Donaghy Motorhome sadly closing down. Now, I've seen nothing official with the exception that they've got a massive sale on their website. And I mean massive sale. Now is the time if you want to buy product for your motorhome or your caravan.
Yeah, there was a few posts I see from a number of different people on the different Facebook groups saying they're closing. And, you know, the big reason is that they just can't get stock of new vans. Mm-hmm. Just, and I've heard it across other channels as well, not just relating to Donaghy's. I listened to another podcast and they were saying that they have the exact same problem. That just the chassis makers are just struggling. All the manufacturers seem to be just focusing on electric and hybrid vehicles now, and the old-fashioned diesel and petrol are gone out of fashion, for want of a better phrase, you know.
Well, look, we wish them the best. They've been there for a long time. They have served us well, including myself. I've got parts overnight and they will be missed in the motorhome / caravan camping scene for their fantastic service. I do believe that they're going to continue servicing vehicles and continue selling the orders that are in, but they're just not taking new stuff.
Yeah, they said that. They said, look, any orders will certainly be will be delivered and fulfilled. And they did say that there are plans for somebody else to take over the dealerships and, you know, back up any warranty and that. So, look, there'll be nobody left in the lurch, from what I've been led to believe.
Well, best of luck to Donaghy's and all the staff up there. They will be missed. Listeners' messages, follow-ups and shout-outs. Aoife from Life in the Blurry Lane was on with not one, but two questions during the week.
Two questions. And the first one is one where we probably need a bit of advice from our listeners. It's not something I have a lot of information on myself, but I read it out. It says, hi guys, hope you're all well. We're looking for some advice on bike racks. We have a Ford Transit Custom 2014 with a high roof. It does not have a tow bar. We're considering getting a bike rack for two bikes fitted onto the right back door, but are a bit concerned about the weight load on the hinges. Do your listeners have any experience with this? We plan to take the bikes off every time we park up and not opening the doors with the bikes on. The second question, which I'll just go through now as well, which is unrelated. I'd love to get a dog to join us on the trip. Had a dog before, so I'm aware of the big responsibility. Keen to know what's it like living in the van with a small dog. So I suppose let's tackle the bike rack question as well. I suppose what's kind of popping out in my head, Aaron, is maybe the best thing for them is to actually get a tow bar fitted.
Either that, but a more inexpensive way is the likes of, I know now they're in Europe at the moment, but big car accessory shops like the likes of Halfords do Fiamma and other type of bike racks that will just, you open the door and they hang on to the door and there's no drilling, there's no bolting, they're all adjustable. I wouldn't be worried about, especially with a 2014, I wouldn't be worried about the weight of the bikes, unless they're getting two big bikes that are electric or something. But if they're just getting two standard, nice-sized mountain bikes, which everything now is lightweight, I wouldn't be worried. But they're available. I've seen them on the back of all shapes and sizes of vans, from Transit to VW. So they are available. But the tow hitch is just a more expensive route.
Oh, it is. Obviously, you've got to get it fitted. And I think the big worry for them seems to be the weight on the hinges. You reckon the hinges would be able to handle a weight like that?
I think so, because I've seen them on the backs of vans. I have seen bike racks with two adults and two children's bikes on the backs. And you've got to remember, if they plan on taking the bikes off when opening the door, there's no weight on the hinges when the door is closed. It's on the whole door frame and the other door frame. So it's only when you open the door that there's going to be extra weight on the hinges. And if they do get into a routine of not leaving the bikes on the racks, there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. If anybody else has any advice or any other suggestions, novel suggestions, something that they could do, we'd love to share that with Aoife on it. And look, I suppose having a dog in the camper is something that most of the camping crew, if not all the camping crew at this stage now, have, and it's something we've always done. I don't think we've ever had an issue. The biggest thing for us is when the dogs are with us and we're parked up somewhere, that they're clipped on. They're never.
They're not running loose.
Running loose. And just, you know, if it's a big dog, you know, you got to kind of take note of the amount of space they're going to take up. But we have a little travel kind of beds that our dogs sleep in. We put them actually up on the driver and passenger seat. So they sleep up there, you know, and they're up the front, out of the way. And they love it.
Yeah, I think size is something to take into account. The only thing I would say, Aoife, the fact that you guys are traveling Europe at the moment and going into different countries, you do have all of the shots and the passport. And I don't know if you buy a dog, let's say in France, how easy is it to get a French dog back home when you do come home? Like when we're going to France, we get Charlie's passport, we get all the shots done 6 to 8 weeks before you go. Before we come back home to Ireland, you've got to get the worm shots. I don't know how it is. You're going to have to do a bit of research about going from country to country within Europe.
Yeah, and another thing to remember is if you're getting a brand new puppy, you might want to consider having them all fully house trained as well before you take them in the van. That could be an issue as well. I know when we got our second dog as a puppy last year, or maybe 13, 14 months ago, you know, we actually stayed at home for the 6 to 8 weeks until the dog was reliable, I'd say, for want of a better word.
Yeah, reliable. So again, we want what's your thoughts on it? Maybe you know more about having a dog in a van. It's a Ford Transit 2014 Ford Transit Custom. We'll give you all the contact details at the end of the show, and we'll pass everything we get on to Aoife in Life in the Blurry Lane. Now, a big thing that's happening this weekend, and I mean, this is, I've been waiting for this since Christmas, Vantastival.
Oh yeah, it is the highlight of the year. It's probably there's very few weekends over the year that all of the camper crew get together, and Vantastival is one of those weekends, and we really look forward to it. Vantastival is one of these weekends. You could go there for the music and enjoy it. You could go there and never see a band and have an amazing weekend and just wander around. You know, there's something there for everybody, and it's low cost. There's no price gouging there.
No.
You can bring your own beer if you want. There's food stalls if you want someone to cook for you, or you can cook yourself, and it's just so relaxed, so chilled out, and it's got all the services you need for a camper, motorhome, tent or caravan.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, back in June, we spoke to Louise about Vantastival because that's basically when they announced, it might have been actually May, that they were coming, and we were delighted to have her on board. I spoke to her again during the week. Now, the girl is very, very busy. This is a very short interview. I hit her with questions. She hit me with answers. So here is Louise from Vantastival, and take a listen to this. So back in June, we spoke to Louise of Vantastival about the September next weekend's gig, the 16th and 17th. It was great to have Vantastival back. And I did say to her, I'm going to nab you again closer to the event. It's this weekend. Louise, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Busy.
Yeah, is everything set? Are we ready to rock and roll?
Well, I mean, we wouldn't be opening the gates today or anything, but okay. The crew is on site. They are putting up marquees. They're doing all sorts of stuff on the site. For anybody who's a regular at Vantastival, there's a little bit of a different layout this year for multiple reasons. I suppose they're trying to work around a few things, but yeah, we're good to go. We have a full program for music and for the kids area and for all the other little bits and pieces. So yeah, we're all set.
Right. So this weekend, what time can people start coming in? At what time do the gates open at for vans, caravans, tents, whatever?
So the actual arena itself and the box office where you get your wristband, etc., opens at midday, so 12 p.m. But the gates of the site into where the car park is and where the queues are to line up for camper vans, etc., going in, will open at 10 o'clock. So from 10 o'clock, you can get in from the road into the site, but you won't be able to go into the campsite until 12.
And is it the same in the same couple of hundred feet that it usually is?
Exactly.
Yes, right. Yeah. OK, so that's OK. So first act on stage. I know there's loads of stages, but what time will we hear noise at?
The first act, which will be on the Woodland stage, is at 3:35 p.m. The kids area will be running from 3 o'clock.
Is there a main artist, like a headliner for the gig? And if so, I'm not taking it away from any of the other events and any of the other bands, but is there a main name, a main artist, a headliner?
Well, there is a headliner on each night, I suppose. And the headliner is always the final act that would be the biggest name for that day. But having said that, it's not like people are buying a ticket for, so say our Saturday headliner will be Hermitage Green, but it's okay. Not a Hermitage Green gig because
yes.
There are so many other acts on. They just happen to be the big name and the ones that are going to finish up the day, you know. So they're I think they're on stage at about, I think it's about 11:30 or midnight.
That's give or take half an hour either way, isn't it, really? Because nothing is going to go according to your clock on the day.
Excuse me.
I know, it's with your best intentions.
We're very good at keeping to the time at Fantastival. I think usually it does run to schedule as close as can be anyway.
Brilliant. And there are stalls and there's going to be chuck wagons. We know we have the bars there. There's going to be like, it's a full, we said this in June, it's just a slightly scaled back version, but it is a full festival.
Yeah, and it's probably, to be honest, it's probably bigger than we planned, not in terms of the number of people, but just on what's available on site, because I suppose once word spread that we were actually doing the gig, people started to get in contact with us who wanted to do various different features and bits and pieces, and everybody wanted to be involved. So while we thought we were initially going to keep it simple, it's probably going to be more full and packed with stuff than we had originally intended.
Since we spoke to you in June, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. I have two final questions because I know you're very busy behind the scenes. Are we doing it again next year?
You can ask me that in 2 or 3 weeks' time.
We'll give you a buzz in a month or so, and then by then you should have your faculties back together. Are tickets still available? I know, like, it's Wednesday, it's on this weekend. Are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available, yeah. I mean, the ticket sales are going well, and as always, they're picking up now in the last run into the event. There will be tickets available at the gate as well, but very important to note that because of the really poor coverage, Wi-Fi, etc. on site, we don't have credit card facilities. So if anybody is showing up wanting to pay at the gate, they do have to have cash. But they are still available on the website on Eventbrite, and they will be available at the gate as well.
We are so looking forward. The whole camping crew are booked in, and in fact, we're bringing a few friends. So we will touch base with you over the weekend at some stage, even if it's just a wave. We'll be delighted with that because I know you're going to be running around with the rest of the crew. We are so looking forward to it. And thank you for speaking to us back in June, and thank you for taking time today to talk to us again.
Not at all. Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, it's a gig. I mean, Deirdre's finishing work early on Friday. I have the van ready since Monday. I've just to put water in the tanks, food in the presses, and we will see you there.
Yeah, I didn't know actually a lot of bands that were playing other than Susan O'Neill, but I've been listening to their Spotify playlist that they created. And my God, there's some really good bands that I've never heard of playing up there. So I plan to get in a good bit of music this weekend as well, and hopefully people will spot us around and come over and say hello as well, and we might send off a few pictures and stuff on the social media.
We'll keep them updated. It'll be the B-Boz final outing, so it'll be there. We'll be standing out like a sore thumb.
Oh my God,
it's the last one.
That'd be a sad occasion, Aaron.
Yeah, but it'll be a fun occasion, so I don't mind. What a way to finish off. Normally we do firsts in the Glen of Arlo, but this last is going to be at Fantastival. So it's this weekend. Again, thank you to Louise for dropping in. She was so busy, and that was recorded very, very late at night because it was the only time she had. So thanks. And if you are at Fantastival, please do look out for the B-Ball, because that's where the whole camping crew will be. We'll have flags flying the whole lot. So please do drop over and say hi, unless, of course, you don't want to. Now, speaking of camping, campsites and stopovers, Bill and Carol left a great review of North Beach Caravan and Camping Park in Rush County, Dublin on campsitereview.com, which is our sister website. There's a forum there. It's free and it always will be. And they said they didn't know whether it was open or not. And they say this site is very much still open. We stayed there recently. It's a lovely, clean site situated right on the beach in Rush, North County, Dublin. There is a mix of statics and touring caravans, camper vans, and motorhomes, with a small area for tents near the back of the site. Most pitches have a great view. However, they are long but very narrow, with little or no room for awnings, and at busy times, you could be very close to your neighbour. There's a basic camper's kitchen, good toilets and shower block. A code-secured gate leads straight down to the beautiful sandy beach, which is lifeguard patrolled. There are also views out to Lambay Island and Rockabill Lighthouse. A regular bus service runs from Rush Town into Dublin city centre, but the journey does take close to an hour or so. Very low ambient light in the area makes it perfect for stargazing. So this is North Beach Caravan and Camping Park in Rush in County Dublin. When I read that, I went back on my notes 22 years ago, 1995, I think I set up campsitereview.com, and that site, 3-star site at the time, was the reason I set it up, because as she said there, that you could find yourself very close to your neighbours. I think I went there in June, and when I opened my door, I literally hit the camper next to me. They did pack them in. That was 22 years ago. So I think it's time yourself and Charlie paid a visit next season to North Beach Caravan and Camping Park and see has much changed, because that is the reason I set up campsitereview.com. I wasn't very happy with the fact that it was a 3-star and we were packed in like sardines.
Yeah, look, I'm sure a lot has changed in that amount of time, and the fact that the Bill and Carla mentioned had a positive review can only kind of back that up. But look, as I said, it's worth checking out. I've never been up there myself, but like location wise Rush, County Dublin, I imagine that's well serviced into Dublin as well. If you wanted to spend a few days there, you could go in and do your Dublin city centre stuff and get the bus back out or whatever.
Yeah, you could head to Balbriggan if you're into plane spotting, you wanted to head to the airport. Rush is a beautiful village itself. It has everything. The beach, I can remember, I actually had Purdy at the time, my Dalmatian. And as I say, Graham would have been only been about 6 or 7 years old. We had a fabulous weekend. It was just very busy. What I do remember of it is the PowerPoint, I had to actually borrow a lead to extend to my lead. I have since got it secondly, but you do need, depending on where you're parked, you may need an extended or long power lead. But yeah, I think let's do a revisit there for season 6 next year, please God, and we'll do a report and we'll do a video for Charlie and me. But thank you for the report. You can go on to campsitereview.com and go to the forum, and Bill and Carol have been leaving quite a lot of reports there, and we'll bring them to you over the next couple of weeks here on the podcast. And speaking of Charlie and me, this week's video, as we head off to Fantastival on Friday morning, 9 o'clock, it's a revisit to the Lakelands. I was there a couple of weeks back in Mount Shannon. It's the Lakelands Holiday Park in Mount Shannon in County Clare. We've got two more Friday videos, and that brings season 5 to an end. And I'm looking forward to it, because I'm looking forward to season 6. But this Friday, 9 a.m, youtube.com/Charlie and me, our camping vlog. It's the Lakelands Holiday Park in Mount Shannon in County Clare.
So will season 6 then kick off next year? And if so, will there be videos, other videos between kind of now, then and Christmas?
Yeah, I think we may go like the podcast and go every second Friday. I'm going to have the winter videos. So that'll be possibly 4 or 5 campsites during November, December. And they will come up more or less a week or two afterwards. We're normally 4 or 5 weeks behind. I also want to do the info video on bringing your dog to Europe. So I want to chat to our local vet. He's just very busy. So when he can squeeze me in, be it AM or PM, I'll run down there. So that'll be an info video. And with things in the pipeline, I want to push the new website for the product, for the Camping Crew podcast products, the Charlie and Me products. I hope to do the videos on them as well. So yeah, we'll have info videos, winter videos, and then hopefully we'll start doing season 6 as well.
Excellent. Look forward to all that. Plenty of viewing coming up. So in the product section, we got an audio message sent in from Con. Some of the listeners will have heard Con on a few different podcasts over the years. But he sent us in an audio about the GenFit LED warning flares. It's a safety device. But have a listen to what Con has to say.
Hi there, Camping Crew listeners. Just want to introduce you to a piece of kit which I always have in my motorhome, and particularly in cases where, you know, you have a breakdown or an emergency and you need to draw attention to the vehicle, and that's a strobe light. It's a LED warning flare. It's very compact. very lightweight, very effective. So what it does is emits a strobe or a pulsing light. In fact, it has 9 different functions, but the light itself is very strong and very effective and does a really good job in terms of drawing attention or attracting people's attention to the need to be careful, you know, in terms of the motorhome being there. So I would definitely recommend it. It is magnetic. There's a magnetic element to it, so you actually can attach it to metal and it'll stay there, you know, and it's an outdoor feature. It's rubberized material all around. The one I have now works on a AAA or 2 AAA batteries, but I know that you can get a rechargeable version of that. And it is available in Harvey Norman's online anyway, under the title GenFit, as in GenFitt, lead warning, flare. Very effective, and I'd certainly recommend it.
Do you know, we all have to carry high-vis jackets and we carry torches. I think that is something that is worth investing in. Just hopefully you'll never need it, but I think it's a worthwhile investment.
Yeah, and like, it's cheap. It's like $31.99 for a set of 3. It comes with a carry bag and a USB charger, so they're rechargeable. So that's like a tenner device, and yeah, it's so handy. Like, it always reminds me of those orange lights you used to see in the roadworks.
They're
sitting on the top of traffic cones. It's got that kind of a brightness and a kind of a flash to it. So you can check those out on harveynorman.ie, and they were called the GenFit LED warning flare.
Now, they're only available online. You can't go in store and buy them. And they also remind me, I don't know if you've come across recently, the Garda checkpoints. They have nice little flat.
Yeah.
I've seen them and I said, no, I'd like one or two of them, but they're only blue. But yeah, it's something that I'm definitely going to pick up online. And especially over the winter months, it's something with your triangle, with your high-vis, with your torch. I think, as you say, for $31.99, it's well worth a punt to keep them. And hopefully you just won't need them.
Yeah, and it's something as well. It's so small, like you would take it with your triangle, you know, into your car when you're in the car. And then when you're getting into the motorhome, you take your little kind of safety kit and put it into the motorhome. Or if you want, just buy one for each and just leave them there permanently, you know.
And like Con did that interview, if you have something, or that review, if you have something you want to review, just get in touch with us. We can tell you how to do it. It's very, very easy. If you make mistakes and there's buts and ands, I tidy all that up and you can sound like Con did there. And thanks to Con for that. Or not every week, Chris. You're getting better. Now, you had somebody else on to you talking about tyre pumps.
Yeah, so we got a message from a listener, and they were looking for a good, reasonably priced, heavy-duty tyre pump, something suitable for the weight of motorhomes. And they found a number of different ones in the UK, but they're looking to see if there's something they can buy in Ireland. So something reasonably priced, but kind of heavy-duty, something that's going to be decent, not like a kind of a USB device, but something with a bit of oomph behind it.
Again, this is not sponsored by Halfords, but I was in there the other day getting some stuff, and they have like these power packs that you can get. They have a light on them, a USB socket, and they have a good compressor. Now, I think it was the 60 or 80 euro range, but when I switched it on, it had a good waft of pressure pump on it. So maybe the likes of a good auto accessory shop, if you want to stay and buy locally in Ireland, that's the place to go.
Yeah, your auto factor's a place. I actually have one of those Halfords devices with the lights and all that, and it runs from the cigarette lighter in the car. Look, it works. It does bring the tires up, but boy, does it take a long time.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, I think with the proper compressor ones, you know, it'll do it fast for you.
But then the price of the proper compressor ones—that's the thing. You know, you get what you pay for, basically, when it comes to products like that.
Yeah, but I'm sure like you can find a happy middle ground somewhere where you get a decent pump. It doesn't have to be the best in the world. A decent, something with a decent bit of power, that's not going to cost the earth either. Like, you know.
Right, let's move on to troubleshooting. And Ken W emailed you during the week looking for a little bit of advice.
Yeah, so Ken has problems with the with his toilet. It's not flushing or washing all the way around the toilet bowl. So he says that when he runs the toilet flush, the water is only going 2/3 of the way around. He wanted to know, you know, is there any fix for that? Is it something to do with the pump itself? I suppose there's a couple of different kind of troubleshooting steps you can take. Like, and the first one I would check is like, is it not flushing properly when it's plugged in, or is it maybe not flushing when it's on battery? Maybe
lack of power to the pump or something. Lack of pressure. Yeah. What is the pressure like on the taps in general or in the shower? You could compare them. And if you think, oh, now that you mention it, the pressure is low there. Yes, maybe it is going to be a pump or power problem.
Yeah, like if your tap's turning on and they're pouring the water, then, you know, it might just be that the jet itself might need this descaling, or there could be a blockage somewhere between the water container and the actual jet itself.
Just on the toilet line, because there are lines, you've got your sink, your wash hand basin, your toilet line, because you've only one pump. Bear that in mind, that you do have only one pump. Maybe, and this, you know, a lot of the campers, 99% of them, have a little small submergible pump. Now you can possibly buy a bigger bar pump, which is still submergible. Or I remember in the A class that we had, I fitted a bigger external pump, because I had the room, and oh my God, the pressure was unbelievable. It was actually too much. It was OTT. So maybe your pump needs to be upgraded.
Yeah, look, definitely it's probably likely to be the case for Ken, but you need to rule out the other things first, because you could end up investing in a nice, decent pump
and still having
the same issue.
Yeah, know? I'd look at the descaling, and do you know what? I should have done a bit of research. I do remember I got my habitation check done there just before the holidays, before we went to France. And Tristan in Horns did say to me about descaling should be done every couple of years. And he told me what product to use. So, do you know what? I'll do a bit of research into that, and we'll bring this up again in a future podcast on, you should maybe during the winter, before you do your winter checks and empty tanks, maybe do a descale just to clean the pipes out anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be useful topic. So definitely we'll come back to that one.
So if you have had the same problem as Ken, maybe you're having the same problem, maybe it's not a problem, maybe that's just the way it is, please do get in touch. We'll give you all the contact details in a couple of seconds, because we do love to hear from you. Your content does help keep the podcast going. And of course, we want your messages, your ideas, campsite suggestions, reviews on products or campsites, any news item that you want us to discuss. And remember, you can record it and send it to us. And we've got the stickers up for grabs. We need your name, your address, and your postcode. But for you to get in touch with us, Chris has all the contact details.
Our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. On email, you can email us at campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at The Camping Crew. On Instagram, we're at The Camping Crew Podcast. On Facebook, you'll find us at all the good motorhome and camping groups.
And of course, it's on boards.ie. We have campsitereview.com. We've got a forum there, which we would love you to go and review products, or just join it and read it. And then don't forget, every Friday, we've got youtube.com/CharlieAndMeAreCampingVlog. And that's where we post the video reviews. And as I say, in a couple of weeks, we'll possibly just over the winter season go to every 2 weeks, but we will keep the videos coming. That is it. Episode 163. Episode 164, no doubt, will all be about Fantastival.
Oh, definitely. I'm really looking forward to now. Come over and say hello to us if you're there, or give us a wave. And we won't bite.
And in fact, next Friday's video, not this Friday, but the following Friday, will more than likely be a Fantastival video. From me, Aaron Birchall, stay safe. What's left of the camping season, if you do see us on site, please do call over and say hi.
And it's a goodbye from me, Chris. We're hoping that you're liking the podcast. If you are, please subscribe, follow, and most importantly, tell your camping friends all about us.
Well, that's it for another podcast from The Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.